Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's October the 30th, 2025, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Today's my wife's birthday, by the way.
Well, happy birthday, Allison.
Yeah.
First lady.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, although it doesn't matter to me.
But I remember when I turned 39, Allison. Let me tell you.
Anyway, she's my lovely and talented wife. Mm-hmm. She's her birthday, October the 30th.
So, okay,
wait the one who mows your lawn,
1963. So you figure it out.
So are you going somewhere? What did you just do? Give us her birthday.
Tim will be dining alone at Sweet Tea and Biscuits today.
Yeah. Table for one at McDonald's.
Anyway, we were married the same year. No, we were married.
Okay.
You know what? We need to just start this show over.
That's right.
The problem is it's live.
Yeah. It's like rewind.
Anyway, happy birthday, honey.
Happy birthday, Allison.
Happy birthday. All right. So we were born the same year. That's 1963.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now we know how old you
remember
are.
You and Ray remember 1963, don't you?
That's
vividly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't in high school.
In 63?
In 1963, I was 9 years old.
What about you, Ray?
I was in the fifth grade on that Friday when Mr. Kindig walked in.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's coming up. When was that? November the
22nd, 1963. Yeah. Vivid, like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened to you on that? Your teacher came in and told you?
Our principal came in which he, Mr. Kindig, a principal who was truly in charge, if you know what I mean. And he never interrupted class, but he walked in without invitation and simply said, "They shot the president."
Yeah.
And we looked at each other. Kids, fifth graders, did not know what to do or what to say. Mm-hmm. But then they sent us home, right? They sent us home and watched that unfolding events in Dallas on little tiny black and white TV screen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What is that, your memory?
I remember my mom telling me, I was 9 years old, I remember my mom telling me that the president of the United States had been assassinated. So it was big news in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Around the world. Well, that's one of the things that happened that's the biggest thing that happened in 1963. But, yeah, that was when I was born. All right. So much to talk about today. We had Chris and I were both in Oxford, Mississippi last night for the Turning Point USA event with Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. And then her special guest that spoke was none other than the Vice President of the United States, Mr. J.D. Vance, right?
Very true. I wish that I had known it was Allison's birthday because perhaps we could have put in a request for J.D., as one person in the audience called him, to wish her a happy birthday. I'll get to the J.D. guy in a minute. But for people that didn't have the ability to watch it, there are still streams out there on YouTube that you could pull up and watch on demand today.
It was on Fox News Live, right?
I watched. I had the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
From my recliner in my living room.
Yeah.
I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, did you watch it, Ray, any of it?
Watch the Erica Kirk and J.D. unbelievable.
Yeah.
What an event.
Yeah.
I watched it on Fox News.
I don't want to steal your thunder here, Chris, but you do have thunder, right?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, the event was held on the campus of Ole Miss at the pavilion, which is the basketball arena, and it seats, I think, 9,000 for basketball, roughly. And then you add in seats on the floor last night, and the arena was packed, rafter, if there was a rafter, rafter to rafter, it was packed out, and people were turned away because, you know, when it got full. So you're talking about 10,000 plus inside the arena for the event last night. And so that's the setting, and it was the first time. Well, it may be the only time that Erica speaks at one of these events. That Charlie Kirk had this scheduled as part of his national tour, so he was coming. You know, he goes around the country, and this was his stop at Ole Miss to have designated day, and so that's why the event went ahead and took place with Erica and the vice president.
And how impressive of these kids, 10,000 kids. Some of them start lining up.
They weren't all kids. I was born in 63.
Oh, there you go. 7 or 8 hours in advance in the pouring rain. These kids, these, a lot of these students.
A majority of them were students. Yes, they were.
Very impressive.
All right. So that's the setting, and you've got some of the for those who missed it or those who want to hear him again. You've got some highlights.
Yes. For people that did miss it, it was not just a get out the vote rally. Or, you know, embrace the Constitution, engage free speech. Those things were addressed, and I do have some of those sound bites. But one of the things that has been lost in some of the news coverage today, particularly in secular media, is how many of the speeches from even the people that were there before Erica Kirk spoke, they talked about their faith, and they shared scripture. They talked about Jesus and the importance of sharing Jesus with others, knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So for a school that is referred to or known as a party school, Jesus was there with us last night. And to give you an idea of just some of the pro-family messages from even J.D. Vance here, here's what he had to say about starting a family. Clip one.
Charlie wanted you to get married. He wanted you to fall in love. He wanted you to build a family. He wanted you to find a vocation. That was the advice that he gave on campuses, but that's not just about you. That's also about our country and about our government. Because while you have the freedom to live life as you so choose, I have got a responsibility as your vice president to make the American dream as accessible as possible.
By the way, vice president, before he spoke, he said, I had a prepared speech to give here tonight, but I'm ditching it.
Didn't he, Fred? Yeah, that, I was amazed by that. He had the speech in front of him.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? I'm not going to use this speech.
I'm just going to speak from the heart.
I just want to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So he gave, okay, so the he Erica spoke first, and she went about, I'm going to say 20 to 30 minutes maybe, Erica Kirk, talked a lot about, you know, Charlie, and talked a lot about the mission of Turning Point and the challenge of going forward. And on a personal note, she said, you know, it was very sad to hear. She talked about the basically she's saying the reality of what she called this nightmare is basically just, she's having to come to grips with it, for lack of a better term. You know, the initial shock of what happened and then the immediate aftermath, everybody surrounding you and you're trying to process all this. And now she described, you know, being at home alone with her two children, you know, sleeping by herself. And it was just heartbreaking to hear her talk about it. Y'all heard this, right? Yeah, it was kind of like very personal that she shared this, her feelings, I guess you could say. I'm surprised she didn't cry, but she didn't. She didn't cry. But anyway, that was what she did. And then she introduced the vice president and J.D. Vance, and he came on stage. And then he said what Fred said. He said, I'm ditching this formal speech I was going to give. I'm just going to talk from the heart. Okay. Then he said, what we're going to do here tonight is I'm going to take questions from the audience. So you had these 10,000 people and then live national television with Fox. And J.D. Vance said, I want you what he was doing was doing what Charlie Kirk would have done.
Right.
That's the reason he did this. Mm-hmm. And so he said, do we have this clip where he says, I want the people who disagree with me to
no,
come?
No, sir.
Okay. He says, Charlie, Vice President says, we're going to do this Q&A. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree with me, if you have a question of disagreement with me on issues or policy, I want you to step up to the microphone first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is what Charlie Kirk used to do.
Yeah. So it was and then Vice President Vance just was outstanding.
Yeah.
On his feet.
Yes.
With every Q&A that he gave. He's a very witty guy. He's very affable. Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. He's not stiff, robotic, or anything like that. He just comes across a very normal person.
Yes, and he did not shy away from tough questions.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what they were going to ask. He really didn't. None of the questions were given to him prior to the event.
Right.
Go ahead.
To give you an example of he not shying away from questions, there was a lady there who asked him about immigration policies and his interfaith marriage, how he deals with that, those kinds of things. And she rattled off like five or six questions in a row. And he said, okay, you asked me a lot. I'm going to do my best.
He said you asked me nine.
Yeah. You asked me a lot. I'm going to try to do my best to answer these as best as possible. And he began with like her last questions. And then, excuse the sockyism, he circled back to the interfaith question. I've got about 2 minutes of this. We can dump out of it whenever you want, or we can play the whole thing. But here is what Vice President Vance had to tell this lady about his interfaith marriage. Clip 16.
You asked a personal question about our interfaith household. And yes, my wife did not grow up Christian. I think it's fair to say that she grew up in a Hindu family, but not a particularly religious family in either direction. In fact, when I met my wife, we were both, I would consider myself an agnostic or an atheist, and that's what I think she would have considered herself as well. You know, everybody has to come to their own arrangement here. The way that we've come to our arrangement is she's my best friend. We talk to each other about this stuff. So we decided to raise our kids Christian. Our two oldest kids who go to school, they go to a Christian school. Our eight-year-old did his first communion about a year ago. That's the way that we have come to our arrangement. But thank you. My eight-year-old was also very proud of his first communion. Thank you, guys. I'll tell him that Ole Miss wishes him the best. But I think everybody has to have this own conversation when you're in a marriage. I mean, it's true for friends of mine who are in Protestant and Catholic marriages, friends of mine who are in, you know, atheist and Christian marriages. You just got to talk to the only advice I can give is you just got to talk to the person that God has put you with, and you've got to make those decisions as a family unit. For us, it works out. Now, most Sundays, Usha will come with me to church. As I've told her and I've said publicly, and I'll say now in front of 10,000 of my closest friends, do I hope eventually that she is somehow moved by the same thing that I was moved in by church? Yeah, I honestly do wish that, because I believe in the Christian gospel, and I hope eventually my wife comes to see it the same way. But if she doesn't, then God says everybody has free will, and so that doesn't cause a problem for me. That's something you work out with your friends, with your family, with the person that you love. Again, one of the most important Christian principles is that you respect free will. Usha's closer to the priests who baptized me than maybe I am. They talk about this stuff. My attitude is you figure this stuff out as a family, and you trust in God to have a plan, and you try to follow it as best as you can. And that's what I try to do.
Okay, the question that the lady asked him leading up to that answer right there, mm-hmm. Ray,
yes.
was basically, you're a Christian, your wife is a Hindu. How do you make this work, basically? And have I got that fair?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was his answer to this. It sounded to me like, Ray, he came to know the Lord after he got married. That's what he was saying.
That's right. Yeah. That's sort of the implication.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, well, in the bigger perspective, Tim, that's the most I've ever listened to J.D. Vance. I've heard snippets here and there, but
right.
I watched the whole thing. I was unbelievably impressed by the way he handled that Q&A. And that woman, I mean, she had things to say about immigration, which he handled. If you just watched how he comported himself, that's a master class in how to deal with difficult questions, because there was a little bit, there was an edge to the way she framed her question.
Yeah. It was accusatory.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
She was civil.
Right, she was.
Okay, she
but there was
civil.
An edge to it, right?
Yeah, because when he started answering the question, she almost immediately raised her hand like, hey, hold on just a minute. I don't agree with your answer right there. But he handled it forthrightly and masterfully, and I thought he did a great job. That was one of the, you know, that was one, when he said come to the microphone if you have a disagreement with me, she was one of the ones who came up and asked him. And you know, the crowd, 10,000 plus, the vast majority of them obviously would be a kindred spirit to the cause of Turning Point and J.D. Vance and everything like that. But nobody booed her.
Mm-hmm.
There was no ugliness to her. Hey, quit asking these kinds of questions, anything like that.
I tell you, if you were not a fan of J.D. Vance before last night, mm-hmm. you had to appreciate his honesty and his frankness.
Yeah.
He did not shy away from that question.
No.
And keep in mind, his wife was sitting right there too.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he said, I hope that she comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I thought, that's amazing. That's the kind of discussion you usually have at the supper table around home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said one time he was an agnostic, he said.
Yeah.
Or an atheist, he said. He didn't know what he believed.
Yeah.
Exactly. To rehash, for those who don't know his background, he had a very hard childhood.
Yeah.
I don't think his dad was, I think I got this right. I've got his book on my desk. I haven't read it yet, but about his life.
Elegy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great book.
I haven't read it yet, but terrific. He had a great,
he came up the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then his mom was an addict. Mm-hmm. Drug addict, I think, and his dad was not around. Right. I mean, he was
every chance for his life to go bad.
Yeah,
and be wasted.
Yeah, and then he grew up. He went to, I think he went to Ohio State University, graduated from there, and then was it Harvard?
I think so.
Harvard graduated there. I mean, very intelligent guy, but very down to earth too.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're talking about what the Turning Point USA event in Oxford, Mississippi last night on the campus of Ole Miss, where the Vice President of the United States spoke. By the way, guys, the Vice President's plane, Air Force Two, they call it Air Force Two, right?
Air Force Two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, it landed in our parking lot over here.
Pretty much. Yeah. Parked over there by the van.
Okay, the Tupelo Airport's just 5-minute drive from our studios here, and when jets come in, the only jets that can land in Oxford are like small jets, really like private jets. But so when, for example, when teams come here to play Ole Miss, they fly into Tupelo and bus over to Oxford. When Ole Miss sports teams leave, they leave out of here. So this is the airport. President Trump's Air Force
One's been here
before. He came here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we had a bunch of rednecks watching that plane land last night.
I guess
off.
I'm a redneck now.
Yeah, well, you are.
I saw it.
That's in a term of endearment, my friend. You're an official redneck, Canadian American redneck.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of interesting because as he approached the plane, approached the runway for the first time, he did what's called a missed approach. He aborted the landing.
Did you see this?
I saw it, yeah.
Okay.
He aborted the landing and went off back up into the clouds again. And it took about 10, 12 minutes or so for him to go around and make the second try, which obviously landed successfully.
Yeah, I'm standing in the rain yesterday, and Fred calls, bit of an interesting situation here with the Air Force Two.
But it did land.
Oh, yeah.
And then in advance of that, the motorcade came in, and they load a whole bunch of those black SUVs up on a cargo plane.
They do. Yeah,
That's the motorcade for the. I'm sure it's the same. You know, it's same way with the Beast, the one the president has, the automobile that he travels with. But anyway, then they took the motorcade, went from Tupelo to Oxford, which is about an hour or 45 minutes to an hour, and just zoomed. It's just fun to watch if you get to see any of this. And when a president or a vice president comes to town.
Yeah.
The degree of security is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What goes on. Local police are very much involved.
Yeah.
They circle around the airport to make sure nobody goes in there while all of this is happening.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm on a first-name basis now with everybody in the Secret Service that was there, as well as the dog that sniffed my computer to make sure it wasn't suspicious.
Yeah.
Go ahead. One other highlight from last night's speeches, specifically the Q&A section, was the what I can only call the "Hey JD" guy. JD even came away with a new best friend after this segment here. Clip 17.
Hello, JD. How you doing today, man?
Good. How you doing?
In the wise words of Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Don't feel bad. Neither do I half the time, man.
Okay. First off, laugh it up. Okay, first off, I just want to say I am a huge supporter of the Trump administration. I was 3 months too late to vote for you guys, but if I could have, I would have. So I'm a huge supporter of you guys before I make my argument, but there is something you guys are doing that is kind of disturbing me a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. You guys have sent the military into Washington, D.C. and a few other cities that I can't think of off the top of my head, which, first off, they've had wonderful results. Like, no one can deny the results of that. It's wonderful. Some might even say the greatest. I'm a comedian.
I like this guy. Who is this guy?
Thank you, J.D. I like you, too.
Thank you, JD.
He was great.
Yes.
He was saying he was too young to vote?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah,
he had turned 18 after the election.
Yeah. Anyway.
He is a comedian.
He went on to say something about Ricky Bobby, didn't he?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
That's what he said. Nights. It's from the movie Talladega Nights. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, anyway. J.D. Vance did go on to support the administration's policies of trying to curb crime. Those that didn't see the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lighthearted moment that everybody enjoyed.
Yeah. Anyway, he did an excellent everybody here, he did an excellent job. If I'm the Democrats, I don't know I want to face this guy.
No.
Do you, Ray?
He is so quick on his feet.
Yeah.
He's winsome. He's personable. Right. He's young. And he is quick. His feet.
I think he's only 40.
He's 41.
41.
It is the first time in my lifetime somebody in office that high up has been younger than me.
Yeah, 41 years old. And so we will see what the future holds.
Kamala Harris, J.D. Vance.
Well, yeah.
Think about it.
She wouldn't have answered that faith question. She would have said, that's a personal matter.
Yeah. Yeah, he will be the nominee for the Republicans, heir apparent, in the next, but that's 3 years out, right? That's what he said. Some people were chanting 48, 48, 48, mm-hmm. meaning you'll be the next president. And he said, wait a minute, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yes.
So, all right. We will take a short time out right here. Sandy Rios from the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7 will be on with us momentarily. When we get back from the break, she'll be on with us. And I'm not going to ask her what year she was born. Uh-huh. We'll steer clear of that one.
Good decision.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. Don't ask women how old they are.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, don't ask them how much they weigh either.
Oh, no.
No. That's just like beyond the pale. Well, I don't know why you'd ever do that anyway.
No.
That's right.
No.
All right. We will be back in a minute. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's issues, the name of this program. Hey, we are now on the air in Des Moines. And we are on the air at 89.3 FM. We bought a station there. And it covers all of Des Moines, Iowa. As I said yesterday, there's no other Des Moines I'm aware of. So I don't think you even have to say
this
Iowa.
Is it. Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So if you have friends and family in the greater Des Moines area, we are on the air now, American Family Radio. And here's the place on the dial, 89.3. 89.3 is the frequency. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, we are here today, and we thank you for listening. Joining us now is Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7 Podcast, which you can find on our website, afr.net. And Sandy joins us from the Sunshine State. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. I'm supposed to say hi to you from Bill Johnson. I just did a podcast with him.
So, oh, Bill? Michigan,
yes,
Bill?
Yes, of American Decency.
Yes, so. Great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
Been a friend of our ministry for a long, long time. Lives in Fremont.
Yes, exactly. Fremont, Michigan.
Which is the home of Gerber Food Company. Little known fact there. Did you know that?
No, I guess I didn't, or at least I've probably been told and forgotten.
Yeah, but Gerber Foods, based out of Fremont. Sandy, you sent us an X post, or what they call it, we used to call it tweet, pardon me, last night or yesterday, that was, let me find it here. Okay, it was from a gentleman by the name of Sean Davis. Who is he exactly?
He's one of the main dudes at the Federalist.
Okay,
on,
yeah.
On legal issues.
Okay, he's very credible.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Everybody knew who he was this morning at our meeting, and I just lose track of everybody out there sometimes.
Oh, it's impossible right now,
yeah.
I think, to keep it all straight.
Keep
I
it
really
up.
Do.
But this gentleman, Sean Davis, has credibility, and so that's the reason I wanted to bring this up before I quote what he said and then get you to comment on it. He said, new Arctic Frost whistleblower documents show what, by the way, Fred, what is new Arctic Frost whistleblower?
New Arctic Frost, basically, it is something that Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, this is the investigation into what the Democrats did to Donald Trump when they were in power.
Okay, so new Arctic Frost whistleblower documents show that the corrupt Biden FBI subpoenaed the bank records, donor list, and emails of nearly every major conservative organization and leader in the country, including Donald Trump's campaign, the RNC, Conservative Partnership, and others, I guess. This was, Sandy, what about this?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to say to clarify, this is not just about Donald Trump. I mean, it was, of course, to destroy him, but it's about destroying other people too. It is absolutely incomprehensible what they've done, and what we know so far is that Jack Smith ordered this. He planned it, but he wasn't He wasn't the guy. He was the special counsel. But this was, you know what, I guess I'm hearing myself in repeat. Adam, just telling you, every time I say something, I hear it again. So.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so I'm kind of getting, I'm listening to myself. It's confusing.
Well, let's reconnect. Just start over. Can you turn it off and then come back and turn it on?
Yeah, Adam could do that.
Okay, Adam's our producer. Sandy's just not making up a phantom person here.
And I think.
Tell us, if you, do what now? Okay. So do we need to talk amongst ourselves? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, had a news conference yesterday to announce this. Here's what's interesting, folks. On November 15th, 2022, Donald Trump announced he was going to run again in 24. 3 days later, the then Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, announced that a special investigation. Jack Smith, the prosecutor, was going to investigate, they said, Donald Trump's alleged involvement in January 6th and Trump's supposed mishandling of government records and classified documents. 3 days after Trump says, I'm going to run again, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says, I think we're going to investigate you. And he and Sandy's coming back right now. And it wasn't just Donald Trump. They went after everybody associated with Donald Trump.
Sandy's did any better?
I think so. Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to just talk through it. Let's not worry about it.
Would you rather do it by phone?
No, I'll just.
Okay,
this
go.
Is, yeah, no. They issued about 500 subpoenas, and it was, well, not 500 subpoenas, but they went after 500 different entities. It was people like Peter Navarro, like Steve Bannon, like Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
I mean, the list is endless. And they also pulled in, surveilled about, I don't know the number offhand, but something like 12 senators. I remember Scott Perry, who used to be the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Scott used to be on my show a lot, and he's become a friend. I haven't spoken to him in a bit, but I'll never forget when the FBI, he was at dinner with his family on a vacation, and they came in and took his cell phone, not because he'd committed a crime, but because they wanted to take his information. And he didn't know what else to do. We had no idea what was happening. He gave them his phone, and he was the head of the Freedom Caucus, so they were able to find out who he was talking to, what all the strategy was. This is the kind of thing they were doing. And yes, they were trying to destroy Donald Trump, but they were destroying hundreds, really thousands, I would say, because we can include the J6ers in the process. And one thing that I want to make sure I say this. It was, of course, Joe Biden, but it was Chris Wray. We've got it in writing now. Chris Wray ordered some of this. A.G. Garland ordered him. You know, A.G. Garland is the Attorney General at the FBI. He's part of the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa Monaco was another name. It's Watergate times 5,000. It's much worse.
And Sandy, they found a judge who really likes the Democratic Party. U.S. District Judge Chief Judge James Boasberg. You've probably heard his name in the last year. This is the same Boasberg that attempted to stop Donald Trump from deporting illegal aliens in the last few months.
What did he do now related to the story we're talking about?
Well, he was the one that the Justice Department went to get all these subpoenas.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Okay. Well, we dodged a bullet by many people in the conservative movement, maybe that's the wrong metaphor, given the fact that President Trump really did dodge a bullet. But in terms of had she won, that is Kamala Harris, the presidency, this would have gone full board. Again, I'm quoting from Sean Davis. He says that the Biden FBI subpoenaed the bank records, donor list. He says FBI. Would that be, that's Christopher Wray,
that's
right?
Chris Wray.
Yes.
And emails of nearly every major conservative organization and leader in the country, including Donald Trump's campaign, the RNC, and conservative partnership. Well, amazing. that go ahead, Sandy.
Well, there's more to say if you have time for me to
say
it.
That's why we had you on.
Well, one thing that what's happened is a lot of these people have this is lawfare. They have been sued. John Eastman. I mean, I was talking with a group yesterday. We figure there's probably at least 2,000 people who've had their lives destroyed, who've had to take on some people. One guy I know, his name is Jake, he's a senator in Arizona. I've known him for a long time before he ever ran. He is a great senator. He's a great guy. He's got six little children. Six.
A state senator.
Yes, yeah, a state senator. I'll think of his last name in a second. But Jake has $500,000 in legal fees because he was involved in trying to fight the corruption in the election in Arizona, which is a legion. Arizona is one of the worst states, if there is such a thing. And so this is one of the states that had other electors. Those people like up in Michigan who were the Trump electors, which is perfectly legal to do, to have a backup set of electors because there was a dispute about the election. Those people have been sued, Tim. They've been in court. They're just people like you and me.
Right.
And they have thousands of dollars in legal bills. This has been a destructive thing. Remember they arrested Peter Navarro at the airport,
yeah.
Put him in prison?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on and on. And so now we know that there's a direct line to Chris Wray, a direct line to Attorney General Garland and Lisa Monaco. We have it in writing. That's what Senator Grassley has discovered. One other thing that I think is important to know, this is not the main thing, but it is important. AT&T was approached about getting Senator Cruz's phone and all his information. AT&T said, wait a second, we have to check with our legal department. This was all illegal. You can't do that. You can't do that without a subpoena.
Wow.
So AT&T then said, no, we're not going to do it. So guess who wrote a note about this? Or note, I don't know what to call it. It's a binding thing. And it was Judge James Bozerg then said back to AT&T, all right, but then because of blah, 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 and blah, 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 you can't tell Ted Cruz that we asked for this for a year. You can't tell him for a year. And it was totally bogus reasons. And
those things are extra constitutional, to say the least.
Absolutely.
I mean, good night. So I wasn't aware of that. I don't know how I missed that. So Senator Ted Cruz, his phone, which is an AT&T, he uses AT&T, and who wanted his phone?
This Jack Smith.
Jack Smith and the investigation.
He wanted it without a subpoena?
Yeah, he went to Boasberg, and Boasberg told AT&T, don't you tell Ted Cruz that we've ordered this for a year.
Unbelievable.
We have some audio of Ted Cruz. If
I say unbelievable, it's believable with this corrupt leftist, deep state, but they, so, well, good for AT&T that they at least said no.
They fought it.
Huh? They fought it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and Verizon, on the other hand, Verizon gave everything. So they didn't hold anything back. There was no subpoena. It's all illegal. And I heard someone say in a press conference yesterday, I think it was Lindsey Graham, because he's one of the senators that was targeted, that if this is true, he's going to sue them. He's going to sue them.
Verizon gave whose phone did they?
I don't know his for sure, and I don't know
Graham?
Who the others.
Lindsey Graham.
Yes, yes. Well, there's like 12 senators that Jack Smith got information from their phones.
Wow.
There's Ron Johnson was
Marsha,
one of them.
Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that story now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was about a month ago, right? When that broke,
yes.
Right.
And I want to tell you one other thing before, because I just think you should know as much as I know here. This is not in this story, and I'm sorry that I can't give you the context, except we know now that the Biden administration managed to get permission to go into the phones of 30 million Americans. It was all who they suspected were Trump supporters, MAGA people. 30 million phones they surveilled, or whatever they did with them. 30 million.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're on the list, Tim.
Wow.
Yeah. Sandy, this makes Watergate look like child's play. Somebody was saying that this morning. This just, Watergate was just playing in the sandbox. This goes so far beyond Watergate.
Yeah. They also took advantage. I'm not saying that Joe Biden wasn't, he had his own ethical problems and had for decades with plagiarism and all kinds of things that he did. But I think, too, that some people in the administration, the Biden administration, took advantage, too, of Biden not knowing where he was or what was going on. Because, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that Joe Biden, what am I trying to say? I don't think they had to ask, you know, for approval from the from Joe Biden himself to do what they did. That's what I'm saying here. But, all right. Well, go ahead.
I have one other thing.
No, you already said that three times. You're like a you're like a preacher. You're like a preacher.
And one more thing.
At 12 o'clock. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry.
That's why we had you on. We want you to tell us one other thing.
Well, here's what's happening as a result of this. I just yesterday found out I can talk about this. The Justice Department is convening a grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida. And we believe that the Justice Department is going to combine, it's like an army of people have blood, literal blood, but yeah, maybe some literal, but an army of people have done these horrible things. And they're going to bring them to account. There's some talk of a special counsel. There's talk of that, but Pam Bondi's on this, and as I understand it, she's focused on this among all the other 500 things she's trying to do. But they're going to bring. There's going to be accountability, and I was delighted to see Chris Ray's name. Actually, we know he's done some really bad things. Chris Ray is just slimy, and so I was delighted. Bruce and I both were delighted to finally see his name implicated in this with proof. So
these people that are involved in this never, ever in their wildest imaginations thought that Donald Trump would be reelected president.
Yeah. No.
Well, I didn't either. So I didn't either up until Kamala Harris was put forth as the nominee. I had serious doubts that President Trump could win a general election, but he did. And because of that, our country was saved from a lot worse things that even we're talking about here today. Yeah. And so James Comey is the one who you could say, well, he never thought, you know, that he would be in court. He never thought Donald Trump would comment on James Comey. I know you have 1,000 times, but James Comey now, he's in front of a federal court.
See? Yeah, I haven't heard. Well, yes, he is. He's hired Pat Fitzgerald out of Chicago. We knew Pat Fitzgerald used to have a very high profile. He's the one that prosecuted Scooter Libby. You remember all of that? It's complicated. So,
yeah.
They sent Scooter Liberty prison, and Scooter Libby didn't do anything. It's a long story, but, so Pat Fitzgerald though had a lot of respect, and we knew him from Chicago, not well, but he was a prosecutor in Chicago. So he's hired Pat Fitzgerald, but Pat Fitzgerald is the person, according to the record, that James Comey gave his notes to give to the professor, to give to the New York Times.
Right.
So Patrick Fitzgerald, who's defending him, is part of the case. It's not that you can't do that. He has a second attorney who's also implicated in the details.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. He's crazy like a fox. Some people are speculating that he appointed these two in particular so they wouldn't turn state's evidence against him. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that's where we are.
You got one more thing?
Well, then.
What's coming up on the podcast this week? The rest of the
Well, I talked to a gentleman out of Abu Dhabi who is the CEO of an energy company, and he is there negotiating with the Secretary of the Interior, whose name is Doug Burgum. And they're negotiating with, I don't know who, but they're trying to, the Chinese are in, everywhere, and they are trying to sabotage America's deals with some of these countries on energy and oil and all of that. So it's very complex.
Gotcha.
And I talked to him about that.
Okay.
And you know what? I can't remember what else.
That's all right. So go, if you, like Sandy, want to find out what her podcast is about, then you
need. Oh, that was not
I'm sorry.
Nice.
That was unnecessary. But you just walked right into it.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So go to AFR.net and click on podcast, and you'll see Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can listen to Sandy's twice a week release podcast.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Gordon Chang on Xi's demise and China's continued threat. That was the other one,
okay.
Gordon Chang.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So there.
I'll post it
on
there. Okay.
That sounds like a little attitude behind that little statement there.
Sandy, you better hang up now because Tim is revealing the ages of women today.
No.
Yeah, I just said happy birthday to my wife. And here I am. Okay.
You might be tried at Fort Pierce, Florida.
I'm going to find myself in the grips of the deep state here before long. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Take care.
You're welcome. Talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
That's Sandy Rios. Folks, Sandy Rios is our most popular podcast. She has in-depth interviews. If somebody called it a briefing of behind the scenes and what's happening and what's going on in our country. And so if you want to access that, Sandy doesn't have a radio show on our network any longer. She retired from that. And she said, because 10 years she was on the air with us in the morning, and she said, Tim, I just want to switch over to a podcast. And I said, well, fine, be that way. And so here we are with her podcast twice a week, and it's outstanding. And thousands and thousands of people listen to her every week on her AFR, Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast. So go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and sign up for Sandy's podcast releases again twice a week. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. Ray, anything? We haven't let you talk in a while.
You know, I was thinking about that fella, the guy last night who said JD.
Yes.
Hey, JD.
Chris
yeah,
can
right.
Do
hey, JD. Yeah. That mean that was great. Ricky Bobby and all that, and he asked about what's going to happen if someday the Democrats get in power and they use the government against the American people. And JD's answer, I thought, was brilliant, because it goes to what Sandy was just talking about. He said, JD Vance said, we don't have to imagine what might happen in the distant future. Look at what happened when Joe Biden was president, how he weaponized the government against its own people. Uh-huh. And you know, this thing about that Sandy was talking about, they did it deliberately. Mm-hmm. They lied about it. They covered it up. And let's be honest, Tim, they're not apologetic. I'm talking about the left wingers. They're not apologetic about what they did, going after conservative leaders. They're only sorry they got caught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. And, as again I said, had President Trump not won, then the political left in this country would have come after and tried to, well, all conservatives and Republicans, and they would have used every means possible to try to shut groups like ours down, for example.
I remember going all the way back to the Obama years. Lois Lerner, head of the IRS,
right,
went after conservative groups.
Right.
You know, trying to take away their tax exempt status.
Right.
So
it's war.
Yep.
Out there, and all right, and that's what JD Vance was talking about too. We're just about out of time, Chris. You got any update on the monkeys in Mississippi story?
I don't. As far as I'm aware, at least one monkey is still on the loose. So good night, sleep tight. Don't let the monkeys bite.
We got to name that monkey. We got to name him George.
Ed already said curious.
Curious George.
Yeah.
No, they're just, you know, he's out there, that monkey.
People are having fun with it on social media. I've seen people, like, Photoshop a monkey on their, like, patio table as if, like, they're Ring camera spotted the loose monkey. You know, hey, honey, somebody's at the back door. One of those things.
So, this is, for those who don't know, there was a truck that overturned carrying some monkeys. I guess they were bound for
Tulane
University in New Orleans, yep. Mm-hmm. On the interstate in Mississippi, and the monkeys escaped.
Three are still on the loose, according to various news outlets.
I mean, but sadly, the others had to be put down, right?
At least five, yeah.
They got shot by sheriff deputies and such?
Yeah.
But how many are still on the loose?
Three rhesus monkeys from the New York Times. You can trust what they report.
George and two friends.
Yes.
Rhesus monkeys, like Rhesus.
Rhesus. Yeah. Not Reese's, but Rhesus.
Oh, I thought this was a new Reese's. Halloween candy or something.
Yeah, they love peanut butter.
Rhesus monkeys. All right. Okay, thank you. And we like your, we like the fact that you're a Southerner who can do a good Southern accent.
I like you too.
We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.